places today
with the Lord, but I really believe this is where he wanted us to go so that we can learn. If you'll close your eyes with me, we're going to run to him, okay? Say, Lord Jesus, I would like to have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a spirit to perceive what your Spirit is speaking to the church. This church. Hallelujah. Amen? See, without the Holy Spirit, you're only going to understand what your brain can contain. And as we go forth in this word, I believe that you may get to see that there will be a revelation of the Lord. And that revelation will really be coming as we walk towards him by the fire of his Spirit. And you're going to find that that's a truth that you're going to see in verse 13. But we're going to start at verse 10. It says, by the grace of God, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. And someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, you say, wait a minute, what does that mean? Well, it's talking about the church. It's talking about the people that are used in the church. But Jesus is the main cornerstone. He is the one that makes this building what it is. And we're not talking about the building we're in. We're talking about you and me connected together. That's what he's talking about. Okay? For no one can lay any foundation other than. In other words, Jesus has to be chosen in order for you and me to become a quality temple. Verse 12, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. Now, what does that really mean? Mean to you and me as people living and coordinated under the anointing of the Holy Spirit? It means every single one of us has a special job to do. And that job is going to be given to us by him, not by you and me to each other. It is the Holy Spirit from within you that brings you to life and manifests through you how you are interrelated to each other. And I am interrelated to you as well. None of us can say, oh my, I'm the church, without including your brother and sister. Without including the young, the old, the middle-aged, whatever. You cannot have this kind of temple built and then worshipped as a building. In fact, last night I happened to flip a channel and all of a sudden I'm watching like a documentary, and they're showing, I believe it was on channel 57, which is the channel about, you know, the history. They were talking about history and they were talking about buildings. And they were talking about how many buildings in the Middle East and in all the different European areas. Some were churches and they were converted into mosques, and the mosques converted into churches, etc. And here was the shocker. They began to show all these people in this huge building, totally decorated with gold and all kinds of colored tiles and so on and so forth. And then they compared the different religious systems in them. And you know what? It was scary. It was scary. Because you see, the coordinates were so similar. And they were worshiping buildings, which irritated me. And at one time, I did that. I would go, oh, God, is that gorgeous? What a sick situation. Because St. Paul says, you're not worshiping a building. You're supposed to be worshiping whom? The Lord Jesus Christ, which is the foundation. And then I heard the topper of them all. They were there to give glory to Allah, etc. They weren't there to worship God. They were worshiping what man had constructed. And that's pretty sick when you think of it. When you see man worshiping a building, watch out. Because the Lord made it very clear. You are that temple that he's constructing. Do not deceive yourself. If anyone thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Did you hear that? The wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight, as it is written. He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that thoughts of the wise are futile. So then no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, that's three apostles, or the world, or life or death, or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. So now, he's trying to say, look, the church is a living organism made up of many people. And Jesus is right in the midst of each and every one of you. Chapter 4, verse 1. So then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and of those entrusted with the secret things of God. So now, within the body, you're going to have people giving you wisdom from the Holy Spirit, so that you can mature and grow up. He's going to take a little piece out of each and every one of you as the Holy Spirit anoints you and gives you courage to become the temple of the Most High. But you're not going to do it alone. If you think the lone master and those that worship people is of the enemy, you're absolutely right. Because what was happening here in Corinth, they were worshiping and comparing men with men. And that, in God's sight, is sick. He wants a corporate people, not worshiping themselves, but worshiping the foundation, which is Christ. Without him, you don't have a church. Watch the next level. We should be servants of Christ and of those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. In other words, there's a season of testing for every single one of us, including every church that I know. I care very little, he says, if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. So he's letting the body of Christ look at him, and then he's wanting the body of Christ to look to the Lord for the answers. It is the Lord who judges me. Try that one on for size. Say, it is the Lord who judges me.
It is the Lord who judges me.
Watch verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. You say, wait a minute. The Lord's going to show up? Sure, he's going to show up. He's going to show up with visions. He's going to show up with dreams. He's going to show up in multiples of ways to let you see what he's up to. If you will simply wait upon him, he definitely will bring a clarity in your heart about your walk with him, the anointing he wants to put on you individually, and then the part that you're going to play as a corporate part of that whole house. You say, well, wait a minute. You know, if you watch the coordinates of a good sports team, they don't fight each other. Right? They work as a corporate group, totally dedicated to what? To win. Who are you working for? You're working as servants to one another, as corporately as you can. And sometimes you might be on the phone and say, wait a minute, I just heard so-and-so's in trouble. Would you intercede for them? Yes, that can be done in the body of Christ. You know, a phone call may come, and you may be pressed to intercede for anything that the Lord wants you to do. But you're servants. You're not here to come to be served. You're here to come to serve. That's the purpose of the body of Christ. Notice again. Verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. Now, what's the appointed time all about? Is it sometimes in 200 years from now? No, it might be next Tuesday. The Word of God will come to you at some point and awaken something in you that you need to live differently without being insulted. Or that you can give up your attitude about, I'm right and everybody else is wrong. And let the Holy Spirit heal you. That's his purpose. Now, if you're tender somewhere, and how many have a few tender spots? Thank you. Talk to the Lord. Say, Holy Spirit, I've got this corner that I'm so tender that I overreact. As you tell him about it, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to give you grace so that you can be changed and healed. Why? Because he's the fire. When the fire comes, what does the fire do? It purifies and it consumes. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He comes as a fire, as a refining fire. He comes to sharpen things up. And you will be changed if you simply choose to trust him. But it takes time. Now, how many get a little impatient? Thank you. Ask God for grace. Okay? Because this whole thing, okay, started with verse 10. By the grace of God, okay? By the grace God has given to me. St. Paul says, I got it by grace. How do you think you're going to do it if he had to depend on God's grace? If you're depending on your own wisdom, he tells you you're a fool. That's not very pretty, but it's the truth. Okay? Because what you can perceive up here in your mind and what you've learned from other people is going to what? It's going to blow up in your face. What you can learn out of a book, if it's not based on the scripture, is only somebody else's ideas. Yes or no? If it's not built on the foundation, which is Christ Jesus, which is the Word, that's why we have a Bible. If you're going to trust in somebody else's opinion, you're going to have 2,000 opinions depending on which corner of the internet you're visiting. Or which book you decided to take. or which magazine you think you should listen to, or some report on TV. You know, I used to have this saying that would come out of my mouth. Oh, they say. Oh, they say. And one day the Holy Spirit says, how much of they do you trust? And which of they do you actually think that they have your best interest at heart? What I had to learn is they all had their own motivation, and most of them were selfish. I said most. Some were servants. And you know something? After a while, you get to know which one has a servant's heart. Which one is a pushy person? You're going to pull back because you know it says, verse 1, chapter 4. So then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ. Meaning servants of the anointing. And you know what? I've seen so many people with an attitude problem. They think everybody should be bowing to them. It's not what the Word of God says. If you haven't got the courage to do what's right and the willingness to do what's right, you have a helper available to you. His name is Jesus. And you can run to him anytime, anywhere you are. And he will give you the help you need. It may not come in a minute that you ask for it. But when the time, the appointed time. Verse 5 again. Therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness. And will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. If you're looking to be praised, you've got a problem. Because many times all you're going to get is more persecution. Until you decide that the fire that's going on around you is designed to burn the garbage and keep the good. What's being done in your life right now is designed by God to make you into a servant. Make you a lover, not a judge. Make you a healer and not a complainer. So change your heart. Ask him for help. It's not a problem to ask for someone to intercede with you or to pray for each other so that you may be healed. I'm going to give you one more verse because I believe it may be helpful. Verse 10. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. Did you hear that? To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags and we are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. Woo-hoo! Did you hear that? When we are persecuted, we endure it? You mean I can't slap them back? No! Verse 13. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Yeah, right. When we are slandered, it means when somebody's backsliding and giving you all kinds of garbage about how ugly you are. And the Lord says you answer kindly. With compassion instead of kicking the you-know-what. And you can put in whatever blank you want. But I'm trying to give you St. Paul's opinion about the church. It's designed to be a place where you can receive compassion, mercy, and grace. And his love for each other. Because he loves every single one of you. I heard it twice now, so I want you to come up to the front, all of you. Very quickly. Do it quickly. Don't wait. Do it quickly. We're going to hold hands to keep ourselves warm and that their air conditioner is not behaving. It went down to 60 today. When I walked in here, it was 60 degrees. Don't jump it now. Slowly, gently.
I'm coming slowly and gently.
Say, Father.
Father.
Make thee a servant.
Make thee a servant.
I may not have a servant's heart. I may have a broken heart. But you can make me healed. A little bit at a time. As long as I get the patience.
As a gift from you.
I'm asking you now. For the grace I need.
Because
it's not going to be done by a head trip on my part.
I want your help.
I need your help.
I can't change myself.
But when the real judge comes,
his name is Jesus.
He's full of mercy.
He's full of grace.
And he's full of love for me.
So my job
is to trust him.
It is to choose to trust him.
By an act of my free will.
Thank you, Jesus.
For making us
a
holy temple.
Unto yourself.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Glory.